All right, what's up, and welcome back for another episode of Cognizant and Cognizance, the podcast born out of recognizing the importance of the second stage of the mastery process, conscious incompetence. This is your host, Jim Perro, speaking, and every week I add a new chapter onto the anthological discussion on life, taking action, and the value of conscious thought. Join me and the occasional guest for a head-in-the-clouds perspective on how to stay grounded and win in all that you do. Enjoy! Oktoberfest episode of Cognizant and Cognizance. What's up? Or it's actually not technically called October. I believe that's the layman's term, but the traditional scientific term for the month of October is actually spooky season. Ooh. It's officially fucking fall, and it's the beginning of everybody incessantly decorating for Halloween. 3 weeks early, and then if you're a few neighbors in the Cobbs Hill area, a few neighbors of mine in the Cobbs Hill area of Rochester, it's been Halloween for like 3 weeks already. So looking forward to that. Actually, this is probably my favorite month of the year. Birthdays this month, I got like 5 friends' birthdays that are this month, a bunch of holidays, all that good shit. And it has legitimately been college football season for a few weeks, though, which is one of my favorite pastimes. Before we get into that, something that I learned in the past couple weeks is that, well, it's not really something that I learned. It's something that I was reminded of harshly by placing some bad bets on college football. I bet way too much on Virginia to beat Notre Dame last week, and that didn't really work out well for me. So this week I'm going to try to recover and not develop a gambling addiction. But regardless, so something I learned, it's too volatile to be confident all the time. Life is too volatile to be too confident all the time in every decision that you make, right? You should be confident, but it's never a sure thing, and you should, do your best to not put all your eggs in one basket, right? That being said, my joy on Saturdays in the fall is college football. This is the greatest fall pastime that I enjoy the most. I love watching college game day, sipping a fresh cup of coffee, which I'm about to do, excuse me. Black, of course. No sugar, no cream, none of that crap. Just sipping a fresh cup of coffee early in the morning. I've been up for like 3-4 hours now getting shit done. Working on stuff around the house, cleaning the kitchen, the living room, folding some laundry, paying bills, looking at my financials, all that shit that normally I absolutely hate doing. It's a drag, but it's the adult shit that I gotta do, right? It's usually a struggle for me to do that, but during football season, college football season specifically, suddenly all of those things get not only easier to deal with, but I actually look forward to the ritual of working on that stuff, checking the fucking accounts and seeing what bills are coming due this week and next week and all that. It's just easier to deal with the voices of Reese Davis, Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, and David Pollock in the background, right? College game day is my all-day or all-morning reward for getting this kind of shit done. That being said, today is going to be a good day in general. Obviously, October, spooky season. We're going to be getting all that aforementioned stuff done, but we are also in the midst of the global Oktoberfest celebration, which is, for those who don't know, it's not just an October thing. I think the German proper Oktoberfest starts in, late August or early September, something like that, and it'll go all the way into November, if I'm not mistaken. But luckily in Rochester, there are so many breweries and there's wineries and all this other shit that it is super easy to celebrate it here as well. Last week we had Parktoberfest, which was a great event. It's like a block party, and that was just raunchy. That was fun. Got to see some people that I don't normally hang out with. Got to see some friends that I do usually hang out with that I convinced to come out. It was just a general great great time. Last weekend was a solid weekend to be alive. And this weekend is no different. Today, probably around mid-afternoon, I'll be venturing out to the Fairport Oktoberfest. It's the 10th anniversary of the Fairport Oktoberfest this year. So that will be interesting. Going to meet up with some friends, probably make some new friends, make good decisions only, of course. But, yeah, I don't want to talk too much about partying. This is not a party podcast, but what I do kind of want to touch on is, yeah, I've actually been pretty inconsistent with, recording my thoughts the past few weeks, which is a shame. I've kept the reading going of the Daily Stoic, which I'm attempting to pick up at the moment. And so the last time that I shared anything with you was the month of September. It was like the second week of September. And the month of September was Fortitude and Resilience in the Daily Stoic, which is something that I certainly exhibited throughout the month to the best of my ability, but it's going to come into major play this month and for the rest of the year here, that Fortitude and Resilience. So it was great. It's great to have those daily reminders on how to conduct yourself and the important pieces of your personality and your outlook or your worldview. What you really need to accentuate, and it oftentimes comes at the perfect time. You get the perfect reminder on what's required to get the job done, right? I'll read the Daily Stoic entry for today, and I'll go into why those two things are both very important. So this was from this morning, earlier this morning, October 5th. Words can't be unsaid. And so there's a quote from Zeno here that says, "Better to trip with the feet than with the tongue." I couldn't agree more. And the analysis is very short and sweet. It's two sentences. You can always get up after you fall, but remember, what has been said can never be unsaid, especially cruel and hurtful things. Could never be more true than with cruel or hurtful things. Obviously, no matter what, you say something positive about somebody, even if you don't mean it, that is stuck in their subconscious now, right? You give somebody a fake compliment, or if you don't shoot somebody straight and you just tell them what you think they want to hear, they're going to run with that. You tell somebody their art is good when it's not good, even though you're just trying to be nice, they're going to go with that. They're going to believe that what they're doing is okay, and you're really not doing them any favors. You're setting them up for failure because you can't take it back. They've already had the ego boost and the dopamine hit from you complimenting them, even when it wasn't sincere, right? And conversely, when something negative gets said, you get in a fight with your significant other, or an ex-girlfriend says some shit about you that's completely untrue, and it boils your blood a little bit. You can't come back from that. You can't come back from that whatsoever. There's no way to reel it back in. It's not, words are not like a hose. You can't just roll it back up and stick it on the side of the yard. Nope. You have now ripped up the grass and replaced it with turf. And while the turf still looks like the grass, when I walk on the turf, it don't feel like grass. It feels like turf. So you've now replaced that grass with turf. Nonetheless, here we are. I've had a lot of coffee this morning. Fire, baby, fuel the flame. But anyway, so no matter what you say, words cannot be taken back. Now I'm gonna digress just a tad here. Now, for all the sales and business guys and gals who organize their professional lives based on fiscal year and fiscal quarters, Q3 was absolutely crazy for me. That's part of the reason that I've been slacking the last couple weeks, which is not an excuse whatsoever. It's not hard to find 45 minutes to record and edit a podcast episode, so I've just been slacking like a piece of shit. But this morning I am, of course, breaking my podcast fast with you, and actually, as I've been doing this, it's turned to this afternoon. It's now noon 10, but regardless, life has been catching up with me in a big way, especially work. And looking back, reflecting on the last 3 months of my professional life, actually, even though I had a really busy quarter, was not as productive as I would have liked it to be. It's the difference between busyness and productivity is, there's a little overlap between how busy you are and how productive you can be, but how busy you are also directly affects how productive you can be. You know, there's a correlation both directions. I'm sure there's some kind of other, like, I'm sure statisticians are listening to this and screaming, "You moron, that's this kind of a mo-." I don't fucking know. I don't know shit about stats other than I pay attention to my quarterback stats in football. Other than, you know, sports stats, I don't know shit about statistical models for the most part. Anywho, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so it was a very busy quarter, but it wasn't not as productive as I would have liked, and it certainly was not as productive as my boss would have liked. So, you know, if I look back on it, I was doing a lot of work from day to day, making a lot of efforts to, you know, in my case, you know, get in touch with people, to help them figure out these different problems, you know, get them the supplies they need to get to win deals and all this other shit that, you know, one does in partner channel sales to help your partners make sales. But it was a pretty frantic approach, and I didn't get nearly as much done as I should have, and it was reflected in my work and in my numbers. And while I am the new guy on the team, I haven't even fully been there for, yeah, I will have worked in this role at, you know, my company that shall remain nameless for 3 months in exactly 3 days. So come Tuesday, I will have worked here for 3 months. So I'm the new guy, I'm the baby. And actually, I said this yesterday in a conversation with a woman who didn't take offense herself, but corrected me, and it was embarrassing. I'm the low guy on the totem pole, right? And she actually corrected me. It's not appropriate to use that term, which, so be it. In business, you do need to kind of honor some rules that maybe other people don't monitor or follow in, you know, in everyday life. But I said I was the low man on the totem pole because I truly am, and she corrected me that is actually, you know, it's very divisive. It's very discriminatory against the Native American population. So I won't use that term anymore, I suppose, because people don't like it, I guess. I don't particularly think it's ever been brought up. But regardless, that's something that has to now be removed from my professional vocabulary. And so be it. It's gone. But anyway, basically what happened was, I was frantically reaching out to all these people as the lowest man in the hierarchy, I will say. And it was reflected in my work. I usually work from home, and so I have a lot of latitude on, you know, not necessarily when I can start. I still have to get up at my 8 o'clock and actually begin to work, but I have a lot of latitude on what I can do during the day, a lot of different things to balance between, like, chores, eating lunch, taking the dog out, who actually is adorably laying at my feet right now, so he doesn't usually do this at this point in the day, so I'm thinking he might have done something he shouldn't have done while my back was turned, and now he's afraid that I'm going to find out, aren't you, buddy? So he's sleeping at my feet, which he usually does, but not until he's been tired out a little bit. So I think he did something he shouldn't have done. Anyway, so I balance a lot of things, so it feels more frantic. So as a result, this must be what all the other remote workers in Rochester are doing. We've all been called back into the office for the remainder of the year, which it sucks, because I know it wasn't directly because of me, because I'm the new guy, so it can't possibly be. Makes me feel slightly better that I'm not being singled out, but it also really lights a fire under my ass, because my competitive side is officially about to be unleashed, because, you know, not only am I now going to be working essentially side by side with all the rest of my team members, whereas we're usually working from remote locations, I'm going to be working, you know, my boss mostly is going to be right there, so we'll be working one-on-one a lot, I imagine, which is good. She is great at what she does, and I really am I think I'm gonna benefit from it a lot, just to get me up to speed with people that have been in the role longer than I have, so that'll be good. But a couple weeks ago, there was some feedback, some thrashing feedback provided in a professional manner, based on performance. And, you know, I'm talking, I don't know what was said to anyone else, but to me specifically, it was kind of, this is unacceptable, and this, that, and the other thing, and basically get your shit together. So it was pretty I have pretty thick skin, but the gravity of the situation was conveyed effectively as to my status with the team. Let me just say that. Not that, like, you're going to be fired, but, like, hey, new guy, like, you gotta pick it up eventually. So, fair enough. Criticism received and criticism about to be acted upon, right? But I guess I told you all of that to tell you this. Those words are now out there. That thrashing is now out there. And while, albeit done in a professional manner, to me it seemed just more like a reevaluation of, like, who are you people and what have you done? Or Jim, like, who are you and what have you done, right? So it was discomforting. But by the same time, I guess not totally unwarranted. But then I also, like, the things have been more of, it's been more of an apologetic tone recently, right? And more of a, hey, work with me here. Like, I want to make you better. Like, let's forget about what was just said. But the thing is, it's too late now, right? That's the entire point here, is that it's too late. The words have already come out. We already know the dynamic now, and perhaps I was rightfully put in my place, you know? So it's kind of tough for me to admit, because I'm usually not, and I hear some football stuff happening in the background, I'm usually not the guy that's receiving the tongue lashings, or the discipline, rather, to be pulled back into the office, but I am also maybe slacking a little bit. So it was, regardless of the tone of the interaction forward, that initial piece is really sticking with me. The tone, the conversation is sticking with me in a good way. Now, in a good way, and I guess perhaps this is a good example of what happens when words are said, and even if they attempt to be taken back, the effect is long-lasting, because now I realize, like, hey, dude, you know, you've been doing good work, but it's not quite good enough. You need to, you know, you gotta do your job. You gotta do even better than you are now. So regardless of that, I think it is time to maybe settle down and settle in a little bit, and find some peace. Maybe not spend all day scrambling around trying to get everything done around my house while I'm also doing work. And so I think focus is a crucial piece, and internalizing the feedback that I was given is going to be a crucial piece. The continuation of my success, right? That's what we're all here on this earth for, is to succeed and to push ourselves to our own limits. At least that's what I think. I don't really see a point in existing if you weren't trying to get better and make your life better. That being said, a little bit of a rant there, a little bit of confusing, a little bit off topic, but focus. Focus, focus, focus is an interesting and complicated state of being, to be focused on something. How focused are you? What are you focused on? Is it the right thing? How do you focus on the right thing if you aren't focused on the right thing currently? How do you change your focus? How do you dial it back? How do you dial it in? Right? And these are all incredibly difficult, you know, difficult concepts. And I think, not difficult concepts, but they're all incredibly difficult pieces of focus to think about. And I think that in order to be focused on something, you need to first quiet your environment, right? And so that's why I think the being called into the office most days now instead of the other way around is going to be a good thing, because it'll allow me the lack of distractions to focus. And maybe that's, who knows, maybe that's something that I can carry over into my personal life too, separating the work and the home for a little bit, at least creating a more of a division, will perhaps provide me with, a little bit more quietness, a little bit more balance, stillness. And the word stillness, I think, actually an exciting word for me right now, because those of you know, as I read the Daily Stoic every week, it is by this man Ryan Holiday, who I've read every one of his books. It's he's one of my most admired quote unquote thinkers of the day, of the modern day. He's not really a philosopher, but he's a connoisseur of philosophy, ancient and current philosophy. And the guy is a great writer, nonetheless. Like, I think what I admire most about Ryan Holiday is that he is a fantastic writer. And that's one of my, I think, one of the least appreciated and my most admired qualities about anybody is that they're a good writer. And so, happy to announce, really happy to remind myself that earlier this week, actually last week, no, yeah, earlier this week I picked the book up. I have acquired, well, my pre-ordered copy of his new book called Stillness is the Key has arrived. So I've moved this to the absolute front of my reading list. So now the three books that I'll be reading on a daily or almost daily basis will be The Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, which I'm still not finished with. I read like an entry of that per day. Still helpful. And now I can start this new book, Stillness is the Key, which I think is going to be fan-fucking-tastic. So, quick ad, I guess. I guess this is becoming an ad for Stillness is the Key, but I wanna share this with you because if you appreciate this, you know, this podcast, as so many do, not that many, but as a few people do, if you appreciate the topic of it, you appreciate the concepts of, you know, focus and responsibility, duty, pragmatism, all the things that kind of boil into this Daily Stoic. Those can kind of seem like daunting pieces to, or it's a daunting task to add those pieces to your, you know, to your daily train of thought, right? And I think this book, Stillness is the Key, is, I mean, let's finish the title off. Stillness is the Key to adding new pieces to your cognitive process, right? To adding those new dimensions to the way that you view the world, and those dimensions being, you know, the aspects of pragmatism and fortitude and resilience and virtue, you know, virtue and kindness. That's the theme for the month of October in the Daily Stoic, by the way. But really quick, before I let you go, I'm going to read you the book jacket on Stillness is the Key. This book is available fucking everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, if that still exists, Borders, literally any bookstore that's worth their salt will carry this book. And it's probably going to sell out pretty fast because it's good and it's cheap. It was $25, so it's not the cheapest book on the market, but I pre-ordered it when I was 17, so. Ha! Anyway, Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday. Here is the book jacket. Unlock the potential and the peace that you know is within you. All great leaders, thinkers, artists, athletes, and visionaries share one indelible quality: capacity for stillness. Sometimes cynically confused for idleness and ambivalence, stillness is actually the doorway to self-mastery, discipline, and focus. I told you. It's impossible to charge ahead in life without it. Stillness enables high achievers to conquer their tempers, to avoid distraction and discover great insights, to achieve happiness and do the right thing. Holiday draws on a wide range of history's greatest thinkers, from Confucius to Seneca, Aurelius to Christian monks, to show us what stillness is and how it might be achieved. He also examines many of the figures who exemplified its true power. Baseball player Sadaharu Oh, whose study of Zen made him the greatest home run hitter of all time. Or Winston Churchill, who in balancing his busy public life with time spent laying bricks and painting at his Chartwell estate, managed to save the world from annihilation. Fred Rogers, who taught generations of children to see what was invisible to the eye. Anne Frank, whose journaling and love of nature guided her through unimaginable adversity. None of us are immune to crisis. All of us are overwhelmed by work and information, and we can all use a little help. Perfectly timed, and in the signature style that has inspired millions of readers around the world to embrace philosophy as a practical toolkit for better living, Ryan Holiday's newest book will equip you with everything you need to find stillness in your own life. And so that, my friends, is why I am excited to move this book to the top, the tippy top of a reading list that's got like 40 books in it at this point, which is disgusting. I don't read enough, yet I keep buying these fucking books, and I'm running out of room on my bookshelf. But this one's never gonna see the shelf, at least not till I'm done with all 260 pages, including the afterword. So this hopefully will kickstart my reading craze again, and ideally help me find a little bit of stillness. So I hope that you find your stillness too. You use that stillness as the gateway to get some shit done that you normally won't be able to get done. You know, take yourself to the next level and figure out what it is that brings you the most stillness and the most joy. I'm out.
Peace.